Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, welcome back to Supercoach Edge. Well, such was the carnage of round eight. You'd be blessed if you managed to avoid the carnage, which included Port Adelaide playing Rosie a week after he did his hammy, only to hurt himself yet again and get subbed. Silly, silly club. Green, of course, got subbed with an ankle injury himself, and Yo copped a groin injury. And then a Fife, of course, well, he was made the starting sub. You could probably say the last two were inevitable in some way, shape, or form, but it was as if the Supercoach and fantasy gods wanted to throw a cat amongst the pigeons. And how kind of them to think of us. But as you can see now, Liam is unfortunately unable to join us this week due to a work event conflicting with our usual Supercoach Edge record. And of course, the job being the option that brings in the coin. Well, Supercoach Edge had to make way, unfortunately. So you're stuck with me, manning the fort and going solo this week. Apologies in advance. In lieu of Liam, though, we'll be joined by a very, very special guest in the form of Steve-O from STS Supercoach to help us chat through all things trades. So stay tuned for that later in the ep. And as we always do, I normally throw to Liam at this part here to go through our socials. I'm going to have to do it myself. So let's see how we go. So if you're not following us across our socials, you can find us via YouTube, which is just simply search Supercoach Edge. And don't, of course, forget to subscribe and, of course, click the notification bell to be notified of when our content drops from week to week. You can find us on Twitter at supercoach_edge. You can find myself at DamoJ88 and Liam at LiamEvans_95. Facebook, Insta, TikTok, just search Supercoach Edge and you'll find us there. Jeez, it is a mouthful, Liam. You do have a hard job reading that out. I will say that. But enough riffraff. Let's get on to how we both scored for round eight. I ended up scoring a 2,221 and ended up going up in rank for the first time in 3 weeks, which is good to see. Up 1,485 spots to now sit ranked 2,938 overall. So it was a decent week, above par, as you can see there. And hopefully that can continue. In terms of the trades that I made, I ended up using my last boost, and I'm thankful that I did because it actually paid off. I ended up switching Powell to Garcia, that is Riley Garcia of the Dogs. Sharp, I upgraded to Merritt, and Cadman, I cashed in for the return of Sweet. And virtually very, very happy with those moves. Recapping Liam's, he ended up scoring a 2,118. So you could say that Liam copped a fair few bullets because there was bullets flying left, right, and center across the round, unfortunately for Liam. And his ranking, I think, has actually gone up. He's now ranked 74,829th overall. It's one of those things where he's just got to grit his teeth and push forward. But I do think that he's going to be bringing in a couple of nice upgrades this coming week, which I'll have to ask him and maybe get him to tweet out, considering he isn't here. But with that, let's jump into our head-to-head, and no surprises, of course. I go ahead yet again, a step further, because I'm 8 wins to Liam's zip, and the differential now has been pushed out to 1,264 points. So as I'll say, and as I'll always continue to say for the remainder of the year is long, and anything can happen. So it would be one of the biggest comebacks of this century if Liam can, but I have faith that he's going to turn his season around in some way, shape, or form. So let's now jump into our first segment, of course, where we summarize the wider Supercoach round in general with the good, the bad, and the ugly. The good, of course, is Luke Ryan, and it must be said the scoring for Ryan in this game was absolutely ridiculous. I mean, sure, he had 39 disposal, but just 7 of those were contested, and it was the sort of game he was getting easy chip-to-chip, you know, kicks and marks with spatterings of long signature kicks as he does, like kicking over 40 metres to a contest. Tick, effective disposal in the books of champion data. So it was the type of overinflated scoring that we'd normally align with Labonte or Gorn, and must be said that champion data had the knee pads on, applied the lipstick, gluck, gluck, 4,000. Give that a Google if you don't know what it is. But anyway, in terms of Ryan, I think you can pretty much just summarize by saying that he has the cheat codes to Supercoach and is a must-have. Special mention also to the rookie dynamo in Darcy Wilson, who smashed out a 126 after an 88 the round prior. He is really just, you know, the cash cow that he's printing us money now. He's just fanning cash, raining dollars is Darcy Wilson. So good to see for all of us that own him. Moving on to the bad, and it is Harry Sheasel. So he did float last week the potential of Sheasel perhaps getting even more mid-time and CBAs after he got a taste last week. And that is exactly what happened, with Clarko giving him even more CBAs, scoring just 73 in a role that clearly doesn't generate the type of easy points that he gets in defense. So hopefully he can kind of more balance it out if he does persist, Clarko, that is, in putting Sheasel in the midfield. Hopefully he can balance it out a bit. And because, I mean, the way that he's scoring at the moment, it's going to jeopardize him potentially being a top six scoring defender. But we'll have to monitor this as the weeks progress. Rounding us out with the ugly, and this is a guy that's burnt Liam and I many, many times before. And part of the reason why we've said across the season to date, he's probably one of the guys you'd wait for in terms of bringing in as a genuine upgrade. And I'll say that with inverted commas, because Bolton was back to his frustrating worst with a score of just 36 from just 14 disposals, and 4 of which were direct turnovers. And we've spoken about the hesitancy, as I said, of grabbing Bolton as an upgrade target just yet, as it is these games that can hurt you. And that does see that his price drops to an even more affordable price down the line. So he definitely isn't worth paying up for, or I guess reaching for at this stage. So we will be able to get him much, much cheaper. And given that price fluctuation and scoring fluctuation as well, it really is a player that can really hurt you from week to week, especially if you are in the all-important leagues and cash leagues and so on and so forth. Now, with round 9 on the horizon, of course, we are now I'm going to jump into all things trade chat, but this is going to be assisted by the great man himself, in Steve-O from SDS Supercoach, one of the gentlemen of the Supercoach community. So let's get into it with The Price is Right.
Show me the money.
The price is wrong, bitch.
Alrighty, and for this week's edition of The Price is Right, we are joined by a very special guest, one who we actually joined forces with across the preseason that you may have seen and had a great yarn with on his own channel, and that is Steve-O, as we like to call him, from SDS Supercoach. Steve-O, thank you so much for joining us, mate. Really do appreciate it.
Thank you so much, mate. It's so good to be on the channel, so I'm super excited, and thank you so much for having me on board, as I'm in the Gold Coast right now, hearing the waves in the background, just going in the nighttime. So it's a very relaxing sort of spot.
Oh, in contrast to me, and I can hear the freeway where I am here in Melbourne. So it just doesn't compare, obviously. Mine's better than you on the Gold Coast. But no, thank you for joining me, mate, especially late notice as well, late call up. And so given those circumstances and the fact that you're on a holiday as well, hats off to you. So yeah, really do appreciate it. But obviously, Steve-O, 2024 and coming out of round eight, it was a bit of a shit show for most people. I guess in summary of your season to date, how are you tracking in terms of your ranking and overall performance? And then give us a little bit of a rundown of how you fared on the weekend, because I'm sure people would probably want to, relate in some respect and hope that, either live vicariously through you if you had a good week, or I guess lean up against you and be like, don't worry, they're there. We've all been there. It was a shit weekend.
No, it's been an interesting season thus far. I got off to a really good start. I was about 6K at about round three. But just really over the past few weeks, I've really sort of stagnated. And then over the previous couple of weeks, I've really sort of dropped down in the rank. And I just sort of went soul searching a little bit in terms of how I could get things restarted. So I'm back up to 11.5K. So nice. Yeah, it's been a bit of a roller coaster season thus far. So just really sort of hoping that I can start climbing back up in the ranks, and really the overall goal is top 1%. So just hoping I can get there. In terms of how I went for this week, scored 2,171 with not having to deal with that Fife for some unfortunate people. Probably not the grouse week I would have liked, but obviously I had some massive scores come my way. But at the same time, I had Tom Green. So, it was a good bounce back week. Still not amazing, but I'd like to think that could kickstart my climb in the ranks. So just got to hope with that.
Exactly right. Stick to the plan, and hopefully it all comes together. As as we know, it can turn so quickly. Courtesy of the Super Coach and Fantasy Gods. They can be ruthless, as we know, and the weekend just proves that. But before we proceed on with our chat about all things trades and the hottest prospects, where can people find you on YouTube and across your socials, Steve?
Thank you so much, mate. So SDS Supercoach on YouTube. We're at 1,140 subs, I believe. So I've gotten a lot of support over the past few months. So I really do appreciate everyone that views, likes, dislikes, comments, subscribes onto my channel. So it means a super lot. I mean, I only just started 2 years ago, and it's just, it just feels pretty crazy. So you can find me on there at SDS Supercoach on Twitter, Stephen DW Smith. If people follow me on there, you might have seen my tweet. If Luke Ryan scored 200, I would be bleaching my hair. But as you can see, he scored 197. My hair is perfect. Perfectly normal still. So, I was sweating a little bit. I didn't watch the game, local footy, and I was at the local footy for the QAFL watching Zach Smith and Hayden Crozier cut
six. Oh, wow.
Surface Paradise Demons. And there was a minute to go. He was on 197. I'm thinking, bloody hell. I can't even watch the footy. I need to have a look at DFS. So, so you can find me on there as well. I'd also post a little bit on TikTok at SCS_supercoach. So need to get back into that, but I will very soon for any of my TikTok followers. So that's where you can find me. Thank you so much, Damo, for having me.
No pleasure, mate. It's my pleasure. It's always a pleasure to have on great, knowledgeable super coaches like yourself, and good blokes to boot as well. So I was hopeful, though. I did see that tweet, and I was ever so hopeful that you were going to be jumping onto the vodcast here with fluorescent peroxide hair, illuminating. You wouldn't need to put any lights on. I think you'd probably call you Slim Shady. I do like to call Luke Ryan Slim Shady. So he would have been the real Slim Shady if that was to happen.
Oh, God. I think I'd have my face game off if I had to do that. Like, I wouldn't even want to. I've never dyed my hair. I wouldn't know what I'd be with, fluorescent blonde hair. But we're here now. I'm brunette for another day. So that's
the yeah. It came very, very close as well, because Luke Ryan, and I was watching the scores, he was getting scaled up massively. And when I saw your tweet, I'm like,
I know.
All he needs is a scale up of 3 points, and that could easily happen, but didn't happen. It was probably the perfect medium for you to be like high enough score to 200 without eclipsing it. So we could have at least scored another couple of points to be 199 for you and really make you sweat a little bit more as well. That would have been funny. Well, good, mate. Easy as. Well, let's jump into things. People are always keen to hear all things trades and who to jump on, who to jump off. So we're going to stick with the tried and tested formula here of the first category of going, gone. And I'll grab your opinion as well of all these guys and what your thoughts are. So first off, if you haven't heard the news, Tom Liberatore has unfortunately been dealt another concussion blow. For those people that watched the game, which obviously you would have yourself being a Hawks man, Steve-O, he copped another, I think it was two in-game head knocks. I think he copped a studs to the head late in the game, but then prior to that copped another knock as well. And this is coming off the back of obviously being concussed in the previous game that he had before he obviously took the week off. So the Dogs have come out and said, by no surprise here, that he is out indefinitely at this stage. But unfortunately, it does mean for owners that they will have to move him on. But thankfully, though, the silver lining here is that he is at a high enough price point to trade him to a virtual, you know, pick of primos, really. And if you have DPP switches, you can switch him to that man we just spoke of, potentially of a Luke Ryan or someone on the forward line or whatever. But in ending, I guess we'll probably just say, you know, all the best to Libba in his recovery and hope he can make a return to footy at some stage. It was worrying seeing, you know, it always is seeing guys have concussion, but in such quick succession, I think we've seen with Paddy McCartan, it got to the stage where he was just, you know, getting glancing brushes and, you know, not even having any contact and being concussed. So we don't really want to see that. And, you know, if it does come to pass, Libba has to, unfortunately, prematurely retire. It's totally understandable because, you know, first and foremost, what comes first is the health. So all the best to Libba. But he is at a price point, 615.6K. So high enough to at least jump on another player. Question I have for you, Steve-O. At that price point, which of the guys would you be eyeing off at this stage if you could? We probably will mention them in upcoming categories, but just off the top of your head, I know personally you were looking at potentially a Merritt or a Sarong. Would they be up there if you didn't have any DPP changes?
Yep, absolutely. They would be on my high priority list. I know Merritt still had a little bit of a good run here over the past couple of weeks, but he's still got a really nice run with, I believe, North Melbourne to come up and some other Richmond teams after that. So, yeah, but mainly the North Melbourne ones to target there. So I think, but as we can see with Merritt, it's just the consistency. So I do think a Libba to Merritt swap is very good, and along with Caleb Sarong as well. For people that don't have him, he's got a very good buy, and he's just not slowing down. Low break even, I believe his break even is 89. So I would certainly, if you do have Libba, if you still have Libba, even after 2 weeks, I believe you miss, and then he's going to miss an indefinite period of time. It probably starts to become a question whether retirement could be on the cards, unfortunately, for Libba. So, obviously, I wish him all the best. He's one of the best footballers I've seen, got the absolute best out of himself. So, if that is the case, then that's very unfortunate. But when we're talking about Supercoach, I think blokes like Sarong and Merritt, I think they're both fantastic options. Even like a, if you don't want to take break even into consideration, even a Matty Rao, he really loves colours against the Lions this week, as did a lot of Gold Coast Suns players. But at a 159 break even, he's a bloke that should finish top eight, but he's going up against North Melbourne in the dewy conditions of Darwin. I really think there is a sneaky chance that he could just hit that and maybe further. So, unless they do a tag as best as they can. But, yeah, I think they're the three guys I would look to get, especially if you've got Libba. I think just if you've got all three, I think...
There's also a Bontempelli as well, who's only 8K or thereabouts, or 7.5 to be precise, K difference between Libba and Bont. So, yeah, you could potentially go down that route if you don't have Bont.
Oh yeah, absolutely. If you don't have Bont going up against the Tigers as well this week, who everyone targets to get a good vice captain and a captain score. So I'd certainly look at Bont and Pelly as another one if you don't have. If you want to go super low, you could go Clayton Oliver or Darcy Parrish. But yeah, I think Libba has to go now. So
yep.
If you do
unfortunately. 100%. Well, let's move on to the next candidate. And this guy is probably could be lumped into the next category of, I guess, on the chopping block, depending on, I guess, your structure and if you need to keep this guy for his, I guess, output, which has been relatively consistent. And it is Matt Roberts of the Swans, defender mid. He's priced at 416K with a break even of 107. So he's actually treated us all to incredibly useful scores across the season to date. He's averaged 87.7 prior to the weekend. However, it was against the Giants on the weekend where it appeared he's virtually hit a brick wall in terms of cash generation with a score of just 50, all but halting his price rises. But having made us an incredible 259.2K in profit and a high break even, the time is probably nigh to head to the Supercoach bank and make a withdrawal as he's at a super handy price to cash him out, or you could alternatively use him as a springboard to a genuine primo. At a pinch, you could potentially hold him if you're not flush with depth behind him, with five of his eight scores being 80 plus. But in terms of cash generation, it looks to be the end of the road. Now, I am assuming that you have him still in your team, Steve-O.
Yep.
And absolutely. If you do, is he on the cards for punting this week?
Yep, I believe he is. The only reason I would look to potentially hold him would be if you have plans to have him as your D7, M9 sort of plans, which I don't think is the worst play if your cash generation's in good shape, if that can allow it. But I think certainly for the majority of people, he would be a bloke that you look to move on. I think the role's still really good, and I also think he's a bloke that I don't think he can regenerate it. I think this is really as best as he can get. So you really got to commit it to yourself if you really want to have him as a D7, M9 sort of option. But I think this is about best of what he's capable of as a rookie. Probably a guy you do look to move on unless you have other plans. So I don't think he can get much higher in price, even if you do wait for him to potentially get a spike score. So I'd look to move him on, even if the role's really good and he is a good rookie on-field option, I would look to sell.
Totally agree there. I mean, he's virtually made us as much, you know, in profit as like potentially two cash cows roll into one. So he's been, yeah, unbelievable in every sense of the word with cash generation and also his on-field output. So he's been an absolute model of consistency and the sort of player that we were hoping for when we selected him in our side. So, yep, totally agree with you there, Steve-O. So let's move on to the next player, and it is Massimo D'Ambrosio, defender midfielder. He's priced at 348.2K with a break-even now of 94. So one of your boys, Hawks, man. Massimo holders actually probably weren't left too shattered, having reached his break-even on the dot, it would seem, having kept his price with a score of 44. However, with a three-round average of 66 and a five-round average of 65.8, virtually the same, well below his break-even of 94, it would appear the time to cash him out is now. Now, are you a, I think you are, aren't you, a current holder, having looked at your round review video earlier today? Yeah. You've still got him, but is he in some trade plans potentially for you?
Absolutely. He's my number one trade target for me this week. Did feel like holding him was a bit of a waste of time. Yeah, at least he held price. But if you do have Massimo, I even think he's a bigger priority than Matty Roberts, to be honest, because it's Matty Roberts could. He's only going to lose 10K, but Massimo 94. Spent the last 22 minutes, I believe, on the bench. And yeah, if anyone owns Massimo D'Ambrosio like me still, his time is definitely done. He is a bloke you can definitely move on and cash in your winnings because he has been a good pickup for us, but his time is done.
Yep, I would do the exact same if I still had him. Next up, we have Zach Williams, one of my boys, defender, 325.6K, now has a break-even. Surprisingly, I thought it was going to be a little bit higher, but it's only 47. But after scoring just 60 and losing 8.9K and sustaining a glute injury against the Pies, it looks as though the time is right to move on Williams. Fancy getting an arse injury. He's had it all, really. He's had the hamstring, he's had calf, and now glute. It's working its way up. So what next? A back injury? Who knows? But if he were somehow declared fit to play this weekend, you could potentially hold if you were struggling for numbers in defence and could loop him with Carlton and Melbourne playing first up, of course, particularly given his break-even is a lowly 47 and a random spike score could kickstart his cash gen a little further. However, he's already made us 109.5K in profits, so he's probably the perfect springboard to a genuine primo, you know, of the likes of Orion, Dacos, etc. So, yeah, for me, I think I'd be moving him on, but still a lowish break even if you wanted to hold him. But I think with that injury, I think he's going to miss this week at minimum, and it could be even more than 1 week.
Yep. Yeah, so I do think he's probably the right bloke to move on as well. I think he's done his role. He's been a decent option for us this year, so he's delivered some really good scores. There's some supercars are driving right past me. Just
I could hear that.
Causing a ruckus. But yeah, I should have shut the window. Anyway.
It's the sights and sounds here I'm getting of Gold Coast, making me jealous. Even though it kind of echoed the noises that I'm getting from the freeway nearby here. But you're not just down the road pretending to be in Gold Coast, but you're actually in Wollert in Victoria.
Oh, no, don't worry. There's actually sun here, Matt. So
yeah, it's true. That's the big difference.
Zach Williams is a bloke you can definitely look to move on, as there are a lot of options. I mean, I don't have Zach Williams, so I probably should. What was his price again?
So he's 325.6K. So he's made over 100K profit now. So he's kind of done his job, I think. 109.5 to be exact.
Yeah, 150K, and that gets you Clayton Oliver. So looking really cheap value option, then that is pretty easy. So I think he's a bloke you move on. I know the scoring history is there, but at the same time, he isn't the player he once was. Obviously, injuries have hampered him a fair bit. And he's been really good for the Blues this season. But yes, it is time to move on and have a look at Darcy Jones as a downgrade, or if you're looking for an upgrade, Clayton Oliver.
Yep, 100% like that. Well, let's round out this category with Charlie Combin, defender forward. He's priced at 297.8K with a break-even of 56. So those that took the plunge on Combin for some quick cash generation will unfortunately probably have to notch him down as a failed experiment after he once again put in an ordinary score of 52, following scores of 61, 55, and 75, following the big 129 that he posted first up. And whilst you probably could wait a week if you need, given his achievable break even of 56, he does present as the sort of downgrade option you could use to then fund a sizable upgrade with your second trade. He's made 70.7K in total, so it might be time to cut him loose and take what you can. Yeah, he hasn't really worked out, has he, unfortunately, for those people that jumped on.
Obviously, when you pick a bloke at that price, at least if you're picking someone up at 229, he's made about 75, 80K. At least it's a lot quicker for him to put it, you know, get him at that 300K range where it's a bit easier to swap him to a primo, but yes, his time has come. I thought he'd be a better rookie than this. I didn't pick him. I thought he'd be a bit better. I just didn't want to pay that much for a bloke, but I do think he is a bloke you can move on now and just reassess better options on field. And at 300K, just isn't delivering as much as you would hope at that price.
Yeah, I totally agree. I was the exact same as well. I generally, as a rule, and it kind of pays off more often than not, thankfully, and it did in this case here, where I'm not keen on paying up for someone at that higher price point, especially if, because it's so hard to sort of, I always like to get a monetary return if you're trading in a high price rookie, which at that stage, I don't think, I probably would have given me around about a 20K, I think, if I was trading Williams or someone to him, which it just really wasn't worthwhile. So yeah, it didn't work out for those people that have him. But as you say, at that high price point now, should be easy enough to at least, you know, use him as a bit of a stepping stone to a genuine primo, or alternatively downgrade him to Darcy Jones to really, you know, make the most of that cash. Now let's move on to the next category, which is on the chopping block. And we have Tom Power, which is a bit of a contentious one here, probably could lump him in with the rest of these guys for going, going, gone. But he is priced at 395.6K. His break-even is 104, which is probably the clincher, which is kind of pushing more towards that trade category, especially if it does allow you to bring in a genuine primo, as it did for myself last week with Zach Merritt. But for those that held Powell, they got their wish with the CBA sapping Will Phillips dropped, but it did unfortunately, whilst it did free him up a little bit, he didn't unfortunately enjoy the 70% odd CBAs that he was enjoying in the earlier rounds, as he only just had 52%. This time it was She's Nuts. He was the villain, being given even more CBAs, believe it or not, than the week prior, to the tune of 45%. Powell, he once again struggled to score his earlier ceiling scores of 90 plus, but he did manage at 72. However, at this output, it looks as though he won't be a forward keeper if it does continue like we had hoped, and could be one to move on to a genuine primo given his high break even. Having lost 19.2K on the weekend as well, he is in line to potentially lose another 15K, which would see him losing, you know, 35K in total over the 2 weeks. So not ideal, and it does mean that it does eat into that cash that he has made us across the journey. So, I mean, the time is nigh to potentially move him on. Could he turn it around? I don't know. I don't think it's looking that way, considering we spoke about it last week, Liam and I, with the experiment that virtually Clarko is having with the midfielders at North. You even gave Paul Curtis randomly like 20-30% CBAs. Sheasel spoken about how he wants him to move into the midfield, which is kind of what's happening now. And it does see other guys like Powell get shifted out, strangely enough, because, I mean, he's been playing well, so it doesn't really make sense. But any thoughts to that as to whether or not you still have him, Steve-O? And if you do, will you be looking to move him on, or are you going to hold the faith and hope that he turns it around?
So, yes, I do still have him, but it's another thing of thinking about. Because I actually didn't give much thought on whether I should move him on, because I was just sort of looking at these other trade ideas, and I was like Ed and Eddie. I'm not sure if you watched that show as a kid. Just
yes, I did.
Eyes lighting up at a jawbreaker, but yeah, I can't believe I brought that.
That's a good reference. That's very good. I like that.
Yeah, I can't believe I did it.
Yeah. Lost the past.
Yeah, but here we are. So I think I'll have a look at some other trade ideas that I'm doing, and I'm sure a lot of people will. But I think this is very team dependent. I think if you need the cash, then you definitely do it. But I think he wasn't doing much wrong with those midfield minutes. I think he is struggling to get the ball a little bit. Now, I didn't watch second of St Kilda North, so I'd like to see the mini with that and just see his moving patterns in the highlights. But, yeah, I think he's just struggling to get the ball. 50% CBAs. It's more the fact that Sheasel got a lot more midfield minutes, and I think that will persist.
Yeah.
So that might keep Power at that 40, 50% CBA mark. I hope they don't. Surely they don't give Jai Simpkin more CBAs or that sort of thing. Like,
yeah,
that's just a total waste of time. I think this is purely team dependent. Obviously, in a week like this where there's been so much carnage, there's going to be some Tom Powell owners that have a lot of other issues to deal with, like a Zach Williams injured, Elliot Yeo injured. If people are interested in trying Fife, we'll get to him later, but. Yeah, so this is very team dependent as it is with this category. So, yeah, if you could move him off, that'd be pretty ideal. I'm fine with people holding up until his buy round, and just hope he can stay around that price and maybe jag a 100 plus score and just over the next couple of weeks. But yeah, the Gold Coast matchup this week will be pretty contested, a bit dewy. So that's perfect for Matt Rowell. And then for Tom Powell, I mean, he's a good in and under type of player. So maybe that could benefit him. But also at the same time, North Melbourne haven't really dealt with that sort of heat before, because they play in Tassie, they play in Melbourne. So they don't deal with the heat that much. So I'll be interested to see if a bloke like Tom Powell can do well in that. But Yeah, ideally you move off, but I don't think he's the worst hold in the world.
Yep, no, I agree as well. Very, very team dependent, and yeah, it comes down to, as you said, if you're, having to deal with other issues that come before him, yeah, you could probably hold him, and at least he's going to bust out around about a 70 odd score, which isn't too bad considering. Let's round things out as well, and we'll lump him here in this category just because we don't really have any clarification with regards to his injury prognosis, which they usually come out with on Tuesday. We're recording this episode on Monday, of course. But we are talking about Elliot Yeo here. He is priced at 602.4K, went down 7.9K off the back of an injury affected score on the weekend. Has been, by and large, really, really a successful pick. Has gone up 155.3K in total. And obviously, with that injury affected 80 score that he had on the weekend, it does mean that his break even now goes up to 125. But that aside, he did sustain a groin injury, and you'd think, given his injury history, having only played over his past few years 8, 10, 5, 12, and 10 games over his previous 5 seasons. Sorry, 10, 5, 12, and 10, I should say. I was counting 2024. Hopefully, plays a bit more than 8 games this season. It does mean that you'd think they're going to be a little bit conservative within the Eagles, and a groin injury does concern me a fair bit. Just in terms of, it's not going to be a one weeker. They did say it's minor, but given his history, I think it might turn into a bit longer than that. But as you were chatting to me previous to our record here, Steve-O, you mentioned that it's going to be a successful pick for those people that that do have him because he's gone up in price. He's been able to punch out really sizable scores across the journey. So if you are having to trade him out, at least he's made you bank. He's made you sizable scores. So he's been a successful pick. Any thoughts as to what people should do or will do? Probably a bit hard without knowing the full outlook on the injury front, but anything you wanted to add there?
I did see some news on Twitter that, from a couple of sources here that he will miss a minimum of 2 weeks.
Oh, there you go. Perfect.
So if that is the case, then he is a definite sell. I always go 1 week, I'd hold, but I'd probably 2 or more, that's probably time you move on. So I know it's pretty frustrating for Elliot Yeo owners, but this for any Elliot Yeo owners, this has been a massive success, so you shouldn't feel discouraged about that. Going into the pick, when you picked him, you probably knew this will eventually result in an
Happen, yeah.
injury at some point, but I didn't think he would be able to average, I mean, before that injury, 120, and
Yeah.
use some really good banks. So this has been a massive success, even though it's pretty frustrating this week, but yeah, I think this is a massive success for people. But if the news is true that he'll miss, I think from the reports I've seen, he'll definitely miss this week, and then he has a probable chance of missing the following week. And given his injury history, wouldn't even surprise me if it got out to 3 weeks. I think they'll take super cautious care. If West Coast had the first bye, like there's probably a chance that they would have held him out until then, but they don't. So you don't worry about that. But yeah, I think he is a definite trade. Massive success to anyone. If anyone doesn't have a Luke Ryan, I think that is legit, to my knowledge, like a 40K swap. So that's an easy of a trade as you're gonna do this season. So I think that's pretty obvious. Even going like a Dan Houston, I know his break even's pretty high, but he's another one. So but yeah, I do think he is a definite trade, and well done to anyone that picked him, because yeah, that was huge.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
100%. And a nice little segue there to our next category with Get Them In, which is headlined, of course, by that Slim Shady. Will this real Slim Shady please stand up? AKA Luke Ryan, which could have been also you. You could have actually worked well with that film clip. I don't know if you remember it, where it was like multiple people dressed that looked like Eminem with a peroxide hair on conveyor belts and stuff in like a factory being produced. That could have been you. You could have had a featured spot there.
Mate, I was copping a lot of stick from my mates because I don't really talk too much to Supercoach about them. And they saw my tweet and like, mate, what are you doing? Why did you put that out there? I said, mate, it's good engagement.
Getting people. Absolutely.
And I would have copped a lot of crap if you got 200. So my mate said to me, oh, just do it anyway. I said, no, I said 200, you got it.
Yeah, honor us. Yeah. 200.
I would have done it if he got 200, but so I think Luke Ryan's obviously a very good target. He's got the Saints, I believe, the week after next. So
yes.
I mean, unless Ross has some, I think Ross is the type, like he doesn't really care about Luke Ryan, that sort of type of player. So he'll go nuts. So if your team value is looking pretty good, you've got the right players where you can make the big splash, I'll do it. Get Luke Ryan in because it's pretty clear. Like, it does seem like, I know Dacos could probably make a comeback here, but does definitely look like he could be D1 for the year. It's just quite the, he just fits perfectly for Supercoach. Sprints to the back pocket to do a switch and then sprints back to the other pocket to do a switch. And they give it to him. Good player. But, I think he is a very good target.
Yep, 100%. And you mentioned there as well about playing St Kilda. And I am a little bit weary, I must say, because the season that Luke Ryan's having is very, very similar, I reckon, to Sicily last year, where Sicily was busting out scores of 171, 166 when I owned him. And I remember heading into that game, and I think he tailed up St Kilda early in the season as well. Yep, 172 in round 11 last year. And then he faced St Kilda in round 20. And I thought, Ross the boss, surely he's not going to do anything. But he did. It was something which was really unusual because it was almost like a systems-based approach. It was the way that the St Kilda forward line set up and the way that they were kicking inside 50 where they weren't just bombing long for, you know, easy marks to Sicily intercept. They were kind of hitting up leads. And when they were kicking in long, they were purposely like congregating around Sicily to force a contest. So it wasn't getting those easy intercepts. So it does make me wonder if Ross the boss sees Luke Ryan as like, nope, I'm going to make him accountable and change the way that we actually play heading into our forward line. So I don't know if he will, and hopefully he doesn't, because I'm picking up that man Slim Shady this week, and it'll be just my luck if that happens. But with Luke Ryan, you kind of summed it up nicely there, like absolute junk points. Like I was having a look in the weekend, ultimate seagull, like last line of defense, literally he would be like 20 meters away from like the last opposition forward, just there in open space because, you know, if they just bomb it into their forward line, there he is just waiting for an easy mark. And I was actually thinking about bringing him in last week, but I opted not to because he had the high break even. And here I was thinking, oh, yeah, he's going to drop another 15, 20K. Next minute, he smashed out that 197 went up 15.8K. So with that high score now in his three-round rolling average, it does mean that his break-even is now a paltry 64. So his price could be headed, as we say here, to the moon on Supercoach Edge. So with a projected score of 130 as well, according to Supercoach Plus, in line with his current average, it could see him jump up another 30K. So the time is probably now to jump on him. But I will say an asterisk here, which I have been saying in our Discord, that I wouldn't be blinded by the score as much. There is a lot of recency bias when it comes to Supercoach, and people see the big scores and they think, I've got to tear apart my team in order to get this one player in. I actually saw someone I won't mention who it was, but they slid into my DMs and they said, should I trade Tom Green in order to get Luke Ryan?
No.
And I was like, well, Tom Green is a test. He's not injured. He should play. If he does miss, he'll probably miss a week, but you're virtually trading a keeper for a keeper, which is a wasted trade. So definitely don't be doing that sort of stuff unless you've planned it and you've got cash in the bank. If you have a boost potentially as well, you could potentially do two downgrades and an upgrade to Luke Ryan in order to get him in. But again, don't be tearing apart your team in order to get in a guy that scored massively, an out-of-box score, which he probably won't score again. Who knows, he might. But yeah, it's one of those things where you've just got to kind of have perspective and not be blinded by these dazzling scores.
Yeah, you can't panic as well. Like, I know Ryan is probably one of the best, the way it's going, probably one of the best scorers this season. But you got to remember as well, I mean, I know a few people bring him probably after this week. He's still only in like 16% of teams. He won't fully kill you. Like, so just keep in mind of your team value. Keep in mind of the blokes that you have. And if you have cash in the bank, you've got like a Massimo, you've got a Roberts, and you can get to a Luke Ryan, I'd recommend doing it. Also as well with that, I know you brought up the Saints matchup and maybe Ross might do something about it. One thing I will say is I think Luke Ryan's point scoring is different to Sicily's, where Sicily heavily relied on intercepts where they can get an extra man into the stoppage compared to Luke Ryan, where he can just get these free chip kicks, where I don't think St Kilda are as fussed about him getting. Yeah. So I get what you mean. I definitely think that could be the case because St Kilda are 3-5. They need to do something to get a win on the board against the Dockers then. But it might just mean it's more like a 120, that sort of thing. I would be surprised if Ryan scored poorly. But I do think, I wouldn't be, as you said, just like trading a Tom Green to get in Luke Ryan. I would just be calm and measured about it and just hope that, every player comes down at some point. So just whenever that comes, I think the round 13 buy as well helps him a fair bit. So that's probably why people are scrambling a little bit.
Yep. No, exactly. And yeah, St Kilda, they still give away by far and away the most points to opposition defenders. So yeah, it's a fair point there. And as you say, like he gets a lot of the chip, seagulling type junk points. And also as well, like,
I love it.
Oh, and incredible just as well. Like
chip mark all game for you. I don't really care, mate.
And he's got a nice avenue to points as well, where he just bombs 40 plus meters to a contest, which is still classified as an effective kick.
And he's so that just easy well. Points. So like they, it usually hits pretty well. So he's just an absolute super coach pick for that type of role.
Yeah, I call him the super coach cheat code because he's virtually getting easy points. Like it's so strange. If you kick over 40 meters to a contest, even if it's halved, it's counted as effective kick. So it's really is amazing. So why not do that every single time, which is what he does. So yeah, all power to him, especially now that I own him. So keep doing it, Luke Ryan. It was frustrating to watch across the season. We're not owning
him. Welcome to the Luke Ryan club, buddy.
Oh, 100%. I'm going to have to peroxide my hair as well and become another Slim Shady. Join the club. We're all Slim Shadies. This is what's he say? What's the lyric? There's a bit of Slim Shady in all of us.
mate, I haven't listened to an Eminem song in ages. I need to keep up with that. Maybe on my next gym playlist. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. When you peroxide your hair as well, you can fit right in. Let's roll on to the next player, and it is Caleb Sarong. He's priced at 639.6K with a break-even of 87. So he once again went large following on from his 140 the week prior with a score of 137. And we hope you got on last week when we advised, as you would have saved yourself the 18.6K that he actually went up in price on the weekend. He looks every bit a top three midfielder. So if you're looking for a genuine primo, I think look no further. Really, I'm not a massive fan of paying up for full-priced primos. But I think it's at a point now where we see what he can produce, high floor, high ceiling scores. And he's just, provides such safety, super coach safety, which we love. So he is a definitive option, isn't he?
He's really good. He's really my number one target for me this week. As I was saying to you before we recorded this, I paid up $653 for Tom Green, and that really just bit me on the ass. But at the same time, you got to have a look at Caleb Sarong, where there's a low, it's a high floor, really. Like, it'd be a pretty rare scenario for him to go under 90, it seems, at this rate. So I think Sarong, especially with the very good buy round as well. So they'll hold people in good stead for him. Seems like he's a definite top four midfielder, along with probably Merritt, Bont, and Butters probably. So, I mean, he's got an 89 break even. You know he's going to be around the mark, definitely be around the mark of top eight. You never know where he's going to come down as well. It could be very soon, but it could be a bit later. So, you know, he could be one of those Christian Petrarca type of players where he's just a pain in the ass to just won't drop a bad score. So it's just one of those. I think I was surprised with Richmond that they tagged Petrarca last week, but they didn't go after Sarong, to my knowledge. I didn't watch a second of that game, but
yeah, no, they didn't.
He went to didn't Pickett try to go to Luke Bryan?
I think he did, yeah, originally, and don't know what happened
worst
there.
Tag of all time. Worst tag of all time. I was like, oh God, well, Ryan's in for a stinker, but yeah, no, nah, so. Yeah, Sarong's a very good target for anyone that has the cash and has the players that are ready to go to get up to him. So I think he is a fantastic option. And just a bit of security in this midfield, because over the past few weeks, there have been some midfield targets that people are going for and just aren't really firing, like a Jordan Dawson, Sam Walsh. And sometimes I think I'm certainly in the mindset, but I'm sure a few people are as well, where you just go, I need to stop mucking around with this midfield. Yep. Like, it's where you get your points. Just pay up for a Sarong and just get some security. So here's a fantastic target and one of the young guns of the comp.
Yep, exactly. And he's only 18K above his signing price. So not, I mean, you are paying up a little bit, but it's not compared to, you know, you haven't missed the boat per se. And, you know, he may go up from here, who knows? So he's just been, as you say, a very reliable pick. So definitely one to consider. Another guy to consider is Zach Merritt. He's priced at 636.8K, break even of 114. And we spoke of Merritt last week, and we'll give him another mention here after he scored a 121 against the Eagles. I brought him into my team, and I was a little bit scared because he started very, very slow. A lot of that was due to ineffective disposals and a couple of missed targets, all that sort of stuff. But when he got on his bike, geez, did he speed away. He was absolutely incredible. Kicked a couple of goals. I think it was 2-3 goals in total, and missed another one as well, which he could have got. But for those that, too, I guess, opted to wait for Merritt, because we did speak about that, the fact that the Dons were facing the Eagles, but then they faced the Giants, and then he faces North and Richmond. So Liam actually was in the camp of waiting because he couldn't quite afford him, and it worked out perfectly for him because Merritt actually went down 3.2K in price. And whilst he does have that tougher matchup against the Giants this round, he then faces North and Richmond, who, as we know, he will feast on. So whilst he may eclipse his break even potentially this round, he should be around about the same price next week, give or take. But if you can't wait, either way, he looks like a must have in the same sort of realm as Sarong.
Yeah, very much so. He's another fantastic target. Once again, like Caleb Sarong, just seems to be a bloke that isn't going to drop in price. I know a lot of people didn't start him purely because we've seen the past couple of years that he has been able to drop in price and seems to be a better performer as the season progresses. But that price never dropped. And if you started him, would have been a fantastic starting pick. So full credit to anyone that went there. But with North Melbourne and Richmond coming up in the next couple of weeks, I think he is a brilliant target. Once again, high floor, isn't going to really get probably below 620 anytime soon. So I think Merritt is a fantastic option for people. Just whether if people want to go Sarong or Merritt. Merritt's had a larger history of scoring, but Sarong's a new kid on the block. But either way, they're both perfectly fine options. And to speak of Merritt, he is the main guy in there and just finds a way to get it done every single week. A bloke you can just put your hat down, bank on him to deliver a 115 plus for the majority of the season.
100%. And probably talk as well, given that he is a teammate, Darcy Parrish. So he is an option. He's priced cheaper at 528.6K, break even of 28. Has had back-to-back big scoring games now with a 148 after scoring 125 the previous week. And he went up 35K on the weekend, but still sits 75.6K below his starting price. So he's a fairly nice bargain if he can sustain his current output, which is a big question mark. The only query, I guess, outside of that is his ongoing soft tissue injuries that he has struggled with for the previous couple of seasons now, notably calf injuries. So the question is if, I guess, that is that behind him? And if it is, he could potentially be a bit of a smoky heading into the second half of the season. If anything, as well, I mean, it probably does help a bit of Zach Merritt as well, takes the attention away from him. We have seen in recent weeks, especially against Adelaide, when they paid him a little bit of attention and Merritt was actually forced to go forward, and that lowered his scoring output because he was on track for around about a 150 game. So it actually might work well for Merritt as well, which I'm happy with. So, here being a non-Parrish owner, it suits me fine if he comes good. So is an option, a bit of a left field one, lower owned pod if you want to go down that route. Not really for me, but I can see the appeal if you can get back to those nice scores. But historically, really hasn't been a top eight midfielder, so I think he's kind of a little bit away from that mark. But thought we'd mention him just because there'd be people out there that would be keen to hear the thoughts on him.
Yeah, no. He's not my cup of tea. I can if you're a side that is struggling a little bit for team value and cash generation, then he's probably a guy to go for and just bank on him, hopefully. You're not starting him. You're picking him up in round nine, so you're just sort of banking on him for a 15-week period to just stay on the park. You could sort of think in your head, all right, he's already had his bad luck early in the season, and just hope that the next 15 weeks he can deliver me a 105 plus, that sort of thing. So if you are struggling for team value and cash gen, then he's probably your guy, along with Clayton Oliver, who we'll talk about a bit later. But Parrish ain't for me. There's just too many red flags that just, like calf injuries and these soft tissue injuries, can just pop up at any point, and it's just, if you can avoid them, then that'd be fantastic to not worry about them really. So yeah, no. Parrish is a pass for me, but in some team circumstances, you can jump on it if you like.
Yep, 100% agree. He's not in calculations for me at all. But yeah, as you say, if you can't quite reach for the top shelf, as I always say, you might have to settle for something a bit lesser known in terms of brand. And
Yeah, you may have to go to Aldi instead of Louis Vuitton there. Team value.
Yeah, exactly right. What are you drinking there? You're drinking a what have you got there in your glass there, SDS?
Got a Canadian club on holiday, so.
So you might have to settle for a Yankee club or something, a bit of a substitute that isn't quite the top-notch Canadian club. Go for something else.
So like at Coles, there's obviously Shapes, and then at Aldi there's Pizza Snackos.
Exactly right. Yeah,
Merritt is
good
your
comparison.
pizza aren't it Shapes,
Yep.
and at Aldi it's Darcy Parrish, your Pizza Snackos. So that's the good comparison right there.
100% doesn't quite have the same flavor, doesn't quite hit the same spot as what a Merritt would, but
Yeah.
can feel the gap for the time being.
Yeah.
100%.
Exactly. It's close enough to what you're getting.
Yeah, exactly
Just at a
right.
cheaper price, maybe a dollar or two cheaper.
100%. Well, let's move on to the next guy. It's Dylan Moore. He's priced at 521.6K with a break even of 21. So Moore is someone we need to really take serious note of. After three consecutive scores of 116, 136, and now 140 on the weekend against the Dogs, and increased 100K in that time after what was a slow start to the season due to glandular fever that he did have in the preseason. Moore has actually wound back the clock to 2022 when he threw his hand up as a potential keeper that season and averaged 94.6 that year. There are actually parallels already to that season, with his current average being 94.1 and having similar CBAs this season in 15%, almost mirroring the 16% that he did have in 2022. So at this current average, he is in line to be a top six forward. So I'm looking at him very, very closely. I wish I actually had the trades to bring him in at the moment. I don't. So he's probably a little bit down the pecking order. Hopefully he can sustain that price point, but who knows? He could skyrocket from here. But is he someone, being a Hawks man as well, Steve-O, that has caught your attention?
Well, it's an interesting thing you bring up there, because I'm very different to a lot of super coaches where I actually don't like having Hawthorn players for me personally in my side, because Hawthorn can piss me off by itself, but just don't ruin my super coach team as well.
Keep it separate. That.
And nothing pisses me off more if Hawthorn go crap and then a Hawthorn player went crap in my super coach team. That would
compounds it.
So you just try to, for me personally, I just try to avoid both things together unless we're a good side. But look, I think Dylan Moore will be around the mark of top six. I do think so. I think with that role, that high half forward, which he's bloody good at, he's a very underrated player. I bloody love watching him. Will Day will be the next captain of that football club. Just both go about themselves so well. Probably my two favourite players at the minute. So I love Dylan Moore. I do think if you are to get him in, I think you might have to expect a couple of floor scores. There might be some 60s and 70s around the corner. So I do think he'll be around that range of 93 to 96, which is probably a keeper. But if I am going to look at Dylan Moore, it's probably a bit later in the season when the forward line's more settled as we look at other options, that sort of thing. But I think he's a perfectly fine trade-in if you want to go there. Just keep in mind, for a bottom three side, he is a half forward there. Mm. So just keep in mind of that. He's looked, two of the last three games we've won a game. He was really good against Sydney. But remember, there are going to be some games where we just get blown out of the water. He's not going to get a good look at it. He might score a 50 or a 70, that sort of things, but he can deliver those massive scores. So it just depends on how much you like a roller coaster and Dylan Moore. I totally don't mind it at all. If you want to go there, I'm personally going to wait and just see further on these forward options before I make a move. But if you like him, I'd go there. But just keep in mind, you are buying a half forward from Hawthorn. Just remember that. So yeah, just keep that in mind when you're buying Dylan Moore.
Yeah, 100%. It's kind of like Shea Bolton as well from the Tigs. Like, I reckon he's probably less secure, Bolton, compared to Moore in terms of scoring fluctuations, like we saw on the weekend. And Liam and I always talk about Bolton because he's burnt us a couple of times with those, I guess, the big variance in his scoring, which he had on the weekend. And it's so hard with that role as well, as you mentioned, like playing a high half forward. You know, you're going to have, especially matchup based, if you're going to have games where you're actually getting pummeled by the opposition, it's a bit hard to really find the ball if you're not really getting much of a look in. So it's going to be matchup based, I think, a lot of the time. But as you mentioned, Dylan Moore is an incredible player, underrated massively. So, yeah, he's someone to look at even later in the season. I think he probably will stay around about that price and probably helpful, as you mentioned, with those scores. If he does punch out a 60, 70-odd amongst these scores that he's had, the big scores, it'll probably keep his score balanced, because his break-even is going to be fluctuating up and down a fair bit. Let's move on and I guess round things out this category with Clayton Oliver, the pink sweaty pig, as we like to call him here on Supercoach Edge. Has he returned? Well, he scored a season high at 141, so it would assume, it would seem so, maybe, but can he continue this form line? He's gone up 10.5K on the weekend, and with a break even of just 48, he could push closer to 500K if he puts in a second big game. At 197.4K below his starting price, he does present as a juicy prospect, but whether you're brave enough to take the punt now or wait another week, which is probably what I'm going to do, even if I wait a little bit longer than that. But I've always said I'm willing to wait for two back-to-back games, just to make sure with a bit of security that he does have that change in form, that change in fitness, and be willing to pay up a little bit more if need be, just with that security. So it's up to you whether or not you want to take a bit of risk now, but just want to make sure, I think in my case, that he's not a flash in the pan and he's 100% fit, because I think his fitness has been the one thing that's really been holding him back.
Yeah, and we know how talented of a player Clayton Oliver is. Like, we've seen him over the years of just one of these mammoth Supercoach players for us. So yeah, I'm probably in the similar boat with you where for me personally, I would give him another week, but I know for a lot of people, you look at 476,000 on a bloke that we know at his absolute peak can go 125 plus average. Like, we know that can happen. Just a couple of off-field issues there. He really hasn't had much of a preseason. And I was sort of saying in my videos, we are a one spike Clayton Oliver score away from him being under consideration. Like, we were one spike score away. It was going to happen, and now it's happened. I'm going to hold off because he was going up against Geelong. I know Geelong are a very good football side, but they can leak some points in the midfield. Just with how inconsistent this Geelong midfield mix is going, Dangerfield in and out, that sort of thing. Where they're going up against Carlton this week, your mob, where I think you boys will be pretty frustrated. Two losses in a row. I don't think you guys. I think you guys will be up there towards the end in September. So I do think you guys are a quality side. You're pretty restrictive in the midfield. A bloke like Hewitt could go to Oliver. I just want to see Oliver, if he can deliver a 110 plus against a really good midfield in Carlton, then I'll be sold. But as I said it just a bit earlier, for me personally, I'm just a bit sick of mucking around this midfield. I just want to get these top dogs in. But yeah, if Oliver's looking good, and I think as well, like people's midfield now is starting to get pretty deep. Before we're done in the midfield, where people might want to get Petrarca pretty soon. So it's more the matter of, are you willing to pay an extra 60K on a Christian Petrarca maybe pretty soon? Or if you want to go 60K cheaper and go a Clayton Oliver. So that's some people will have to think about. So I think this is perfectly fine. And once again, as I said with Darcy Parrish, like if your team value is not looking too good, if you're have to go cheap to finish your side, I think then Clayton Oliver is a definite trade in. If there's other people in good spots, then they could probably wait a week on Clayton Oliver and then reassess if he is the right man to deliver at M8 realistically for them. So, or even go as far as an M9. So, yeah, I think it's a perfectly fine option for a lot of people, but there will be some people that will just need an extra week of data like me and you.
Yeah, 100%. And that's the thing as well. Like you mentioned, and very rightly so, that it's probably a good time for him to face, I guess an equally competent side in Carlton. I say that with a bit of a smirk because having lost the past two games, but I mean, both pretty good midfields, and it's probably a great test for him to, I guess, prove to himself and prove to others as well, prospective buyers like us, that if he can score well, then maybe that's the biggest tick of all. And he does average actually against Carlton 122.8 across 9 games, surprisingly. I would say that Hewitt would probably go to him, but Hewitt didn't really even do much of a number on Nicky Dacos on the weekend. So with his scores in recent
Players though.
years, yeah, it's true. It's true. Just to give you a bit of a taste of what Clary has done against, and I remember it quite well every time we match up. He's one of the guys that just gets loose. 128, 126, 140, 127, 158, and 88, 139, and a 116. So that's, I think, goes pretty deep in terms of his form line against my mob. And
Bloody hell. Well, this will find out if Clayton Oliver's fully back, mate.
exactly right. So by those numbers, he should be punching out 125 plus score. So if he does, I'd be happy to pay up for him.
I even think a 110 at 520K is just about enough as well. Like 110 plus, like that might just be enough. Even if he's just an M9 for a year, like I know me and you will probably hold off for one more week and then reassess, see how he goes against the Blues. But I think the Blues will be breathing fire. I think so. I'll be very interested to see how Oliver goes against Carlton.
Yep, agreed. So one to watch there. And speaking of watching, the next category is one we like to consider in It's called Consider, Wait, or Hold. So we're lumping Sam Darcy in here, and for good reason, just want to mention him. So he's obviously a forward. He's priced at 314.9K with a break-even of 42. Has been a really nice cash cow for us across the journey to date. Had a dirty day out against your mob in the Hawks on the weekend, and the Dogs did generally as well, as you fist pump and down a bit of Canadian club there in victorious style. And he scored an equal low, equal season low, 49. But he has every chance to bounce back against Richmond, who concede the second most points to opposition forwards. And with a low break even of 42, and having had four high scores of 82, 84, 88, and 109 among his first seven games, I would back him in for another spike score based on this matchup alone, and then consider shifting him out of your side potentially next week or the week after, depending on how he performs.
Yep, I agree. I think he is a definite hold. I think Richmond are struggling a bit in the back line. I think Noah Bolter could come back this week, so that could shake things up a bit there with Darcy, but he's just an unbelievable talent. He's a great, great kid, great to watch. So I've no issues with anyone holding. I think it's, in my opinion, you have to, considering the carnage, you have to be in a really good position to be trying out Darcy just before the Tigers, and if you're not dealing with much carnage. But I think Sam Darcy is a hold for this week, and just see him bounce back hopefully against the Tigers.
Very nice. Well, let's round things out here with the last category on the bubble, and there's only one notable name here to mention, and it is that youngster, that helmeted one from the Giants, Darcy Jones. As a forward, 123.9K, has a break-even of negative 75, butted up from his first opening game of 75 with another score of 70 second up, and looks every bit suited to senior level, which bodes well for his job security, at the very least in the short term. With such a low break-even, he's in line to make us 100K, you'd think, and looks to be among one of the few better cash cows remaining in terms of output and job security. So if you are in need of a downgrade option to fund an upgrade this round, he's one we would recommend. Looks incredible, doesn't he?
I know the Giants were, when they drafted him, they said they were eyeing him up. They really rated this kid. Unfortunately, in his first year, he went down with an ACL during, I believe it was in preseason. So he's had another preseason to get stronger, small forward, but he just looks fantastic. Kid from WA. I've heard a couple of interviews. Seems really a really good young kid. So I like what I hear from him, and I think Kingsley and the Giants are the type of blokes to just give them a good chance. If they're performing, we'll keep giving you a good run at it, like we saw with Harvey Thomas, that sort of thing. Regardless of how good of a side we are, you know, we're not afraid to throw blokes like Nick Haynes and Isaac Cumming down the twos for a fair while. So, yeah, I really like Darcy Jones. It'd be great if he could make some good money for us, and Giants can give him another month of games, that sort of thing. So I really rate this kid, and hope the best for him, because I think he's a good young talent for the Giants. And I think, yeah, the Giants just hit it, nail it once again in the draft, seems a bit
incredible. Yeah, they do so well. And looking at his heat map as well on the weekend, he was kind of a bit on the wing. It was almost in a bit of a square formation. So he was like high half forward going along the wing. Then he was sort of a high half back, and then spreading back around. So he's been all over the ground, and he's got that running capacity to him, doesn't he? That's really speedy. Yeah. So really, really good. And obviously the Giants rate him. So yeah, bodes well for his job security. But Steve-O, that rounds us out for this segment with the all things trades. And it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on for the first time, the inaugural, we'll say, feature spot to yourself, of course, STS Supercoach. It's been an absolute pleasure having you here, mate, with your expertise and all-round good guy factor. Great to always have a chat, have a yarn outside of this. So where can people find you once again on your channel and across socials?
I already went on a massive spiel, so I'll just keep it quick. STS Supercoach on YouTube, Stephen DW Smith on Twitter, and SCS_Supercoach on TikTok. Those are the three places where you can mainly find me. I also have Instagram, but barely use it, so don't bother. Just worry about those three, and that's where you'll find me. So thank you so much, Damo, for having me. Absolute legend you are, and you and Liam do some fantastic content, so I always tune in when I have the time. So it's fantastic to be on a video with you again.
Thank you, mate. And again, for those people tuning in, make sure you jump across to his YouTube channel. Give him a subscribe. Give him some support, as we'd like to do for the rest of our content creators in the Supercoach community. So does some incredible work, and tune in, because he does have some nice little gems to throw your way. So make sure you do that. And as we mentioned, pre-record, Steve-O, and I hope you don't mind me calling you Steve-O, which a bit of a, we probably should have mentioned from the top, but a bit of a gag, because I think you called me was it Damien? You might have called me, or was another
Damien.
Name?
Yeah,
Damien. And I didn't correct you early on, and it got to that awkward stage where I was like, oh, I probably should mention that it's Damon or Damo, which is quite funny. So we've dumped each other.
I called you Dazzler.
Dazzler, exactly right.
Thank you for having me on the channel, Dazzler. I really appreciate it. I'll make sure I call you Dazzler from now on. That's it.
Yeah. What a classic. I completely forgot about Dazzler. I was trying to work. I was like, I can't work out what you called me. But yeah, I called you Steve-O and you called me Dazzler. So it sounds like some sort of some bar we could open up together, the Dazzler and Steve-O in or something.
Mate, I'm also an entrepreneur, so I can get you in that sort of thing. So don't you worry, we can get that sorted pretty soon.
What a classic. Well, thanks again, Steve-O. And again, we'll have to catch up for a bit of a beer. And even also as well, I mean, as you mentioned, Carlton Hawthorn, we match up towards the back end of the season. So it'd be awesome to even catch up then, either during the game or pre-game or after, mate. So it'd be great to have a bit of beer.
Thank you so much for letting me on the channel. It was good fun.
Perfect. No worries. Well, there you go, ladies and gents. As again, check him out on YouTube. Give him a like, give him a follow, and incredible bloke, incredible super coach. So thanks again, mate.
Thank you so much.
Thank you again to Steve-O from SDS Supercoach for joining us and being our special guest, one of many to follow in terms of collaboration with other content creators. So if you haven't already, go and check out his content on YouTube and give him a like, give him a follow, subscribe to his channel. And yeah, he's an absolute ripper of a bloke. So looking forward to catching up with him at some stage during the season for a bit of a quiet beer. And with that, it is now time to jump into our next segment. Of course, you probably know what it is for those regular tuner innerers. And of course, it is I'm the Captain Now. And we have made the call out for people to send in their own rendition of I'm the Captain Now. So if you're keen to be featured on our show, and I guess the easiest way to send it into us is via our Discord. So make sure to send your rendition in. And this week's rendition is a bit of a multicultural flavor to it, which is what we requested actually a few weeks back. So we're amped, absolutely amped, to present to you this ripper via the dulcet tones of Gaurav Bawa, spoken in his local Hindi. Hopefully it does actually convert to translate to I'm the Captain Now. Hopefully it does, but fingers crossed. If it doesn't, it's going to make for a hilarious intro. So take it away, Gaurav.
Thank you. देख मेरी तरफ अब मैं कप्तान हूं.
That is absolutely amazing. Thank you so much for sending that in, Gaurav. And as I promised on, I guess, in our DMs, I said I was going to give this Hindi a bit of a crack. Apologies. I don't think I've spoken a word of Hindi in my life, albeit I did go to India. I was very lucky late last year and absolutely loved the country, but never spoken Hindi. So we'll give it a go. And hopefully I don't butcher it. Of course, you said your kids will absolutely love it. So here we go. Dek mere taraf, main ab kaptan hoon. So hopefully that does it justice in some way, shape or form, Gaurav. But thank you so much for sending that in. And of course, as I said, for those people that want to get involved, send in their rendition of I'm the Captain Now. Make sure to join our Discord and send it in via DM. As easy as that, record it, send it through, and you'll be featured in one of our upcoming episodes. So with that, of course, we are in I'm the Captain Now. So for those people that don't know, it's pretty straightforward, self-explanatory, but we do chat about the VC and C options you've got for the upcoming round of Supercoach. As always, we've scrounged through the data and found the top options for you to consider. And first up, we have Max Gawn versus My Mob in Carlton. And the big bearded one will be licking his lips with Carlton next on the menu, given his current run of form. However, he only averages 100 against the Baggers, with his most recent scores against them being 129, 103, and 84. Carlton concede the seventh most points of any side to opposition rucks, and with 111 being Gawn's lowest score of the season, he provides a nice safety net with a high floor. And we all know his high ceiling. So, he is one to consider. Next up, we have Zach Butters against the Cats. And whilst he only averages 92.7 against the Cats from six games, in his last three, he has scored 118, 99, and 137. But elevating Butters even further is the Cats actually concede the most points to opposition inside mids. And of those early games, he could be one to whack your VC on if you so desire. Next up, we have Steele up against Hawthorn. So Jack Steele, he returned to form, thankfully for us owners on the weekend against the Roos, and now faces another minnow side in the Hawks. In his last three scores against them, they read as 125, 62, and 108. But the Hawks present as a juicy matchup for opposition inside mids, giving up the third most points to opposition mids. So he is someone to consider. Might be a little bit of a risk considering he has battled with his knee niggle in recent weeks, but hopefully he can mirror that form that he showed against the Roos. Next up, we have Marcus Bontempelli up against Richmond and LeBont. He did a number on the Hawks, scoring 142, and now faces a lowly Tiggs team, who is the team that he actually averages the most against, to the tune of, get this, 127.6 across 10 games. And his three most recent games against them, he scored 136, 154, and a 122. Oh, and if that wasn't tasty enough, the Tigers, they give up the second most points to opposition mids. So he is almost a lock and load off the back of that. And to round us out, we have Nick Dacos up against West Coast. And after scoring his highest score of the season against Carlton last round with a score of 150, he now faces the slowly improving Eagles, against whom he has scored 123 and a 125. And given this game is the second last of the round, he'd most likely have to be an outright captaincy option. But given that we know how Dacos can score, he is someone that I think we can get around and have a little bit of confidence in. So those are the top options that we have on offer. Let's round it out by going into our captaincy head-to-head between Liam and myself. And must say, bit of a spoiler alert, Liam, it's unfortunate you're not here, because you could be celebrating the fact that you have actually gone ahead. You've gone ahead in our head-to-head. You are now 4 wins to my 3 wins, and the points differential is 2. So you went for Zachariah Merritt, who scored the 121, whilst I went for Gawn, who scored the 111. So that means that, as I said, you've got the outright lead. And of course, Liam, you did send in your choice for the coming round 9 via postal vote or Hedwig. And your choice this week is Wispy Nicky Dacos, and I'm going to opt for LeBont, Marcus Bontempelli. Let's now turn our attention to where we answer questions, and we ask, or at least you ask, I gots to know.
Hey, I gots to know.
And the first question that we have is from Trav at 23, Trav23. You say, love your work, guys. Thoughts on bringing in more at F3 to bolster the pathetic forward line, or take a punt on Clary? Only have one mid position to fill, so not convinced that should be Clary. Alternatively, could target a Young or Stewart at D5 this week. A lot to unpack there. I think first and foremost, as we spoke about with SDS, he pretty much, as being a Hawks man, gave us a bit more insight into Moore. And it looks as though, yes, I think as he's kind of projecting towards being a top six forward. So I wouldn't mind going for him. Especially considering, you know, if it means that you're taking a rookie off field, that is even more of a bonus. With Clary, I'm, as I said earlier in the episode, that I much prefer to wait at least an extra week. And if I'm, you know, need to pay a bit of extra coin, considering he will go up in price, so be it. I'd much prefer to have a couple of weeks look into how he's performing and make sure that first and foremost he's fit, but also has a bit of form behind him. So I don't mind Clary as a cut price option, but as you said, with only one mid position to fill, you're similar to me. I'm opting for Butters, before Oliver. And yeah, if I have a bit of cash left over, and depending on his price point and how much he goes up in recent weeks, I might opt for Clary and try and use him as a bit of a, you know, M at nine type option. We can swing off the bench and loop, but I don't think I'll be able to do that just because there's so many other positions across the field that I still need to bring in, you know, top primos for. So your last part of your question, alternatively, you could target a Young or Stewart. I would probably go for Young because he's got a lower break even, and at least wait a week for Stewart if you wanted to. I do think Young is tracking towards being a top six defender. Stewart, I haven't lost the faith in just yet. I do own him. I started with him. So I think at his price point, he's an absolute bargain. So, you know, if it means going for Stewart allows you to bring in, you know, another big primo next week with those savings that you're getting for Stewart, I would look at that. So, yeah, could you maybe potentially go for a more and then go for Stewart next week? You could look at that. Clary, as I said, you could go for, a lot of people are going for this week. And I do like Young as well. So I don't think I've really answered the question there with a definitive answer because it's hard to do so without seeing your team and the way that it's structured up because, yeah, I don't want to be giving a definitive answer not seeing that. So feel free to flick it across to us via Discord, via Twitter DMs, all that sort of stuff, and see if we can help give you a more definitive answer. But best of luck with whatever avenue you go down, Trav. We also have a question sent in by Oliver with a lot of R's there. So a bit of a coincidence there. We were just chatting about Clary Oliver, and it is at Enritz PC. He asks, thoughts on what to do with Willem Drew. So he is nowhere near a keeper. I know we jokingly spoke about him, Liam and I, with regards to Champion Data having him up there in their rankings. But yeah, he's not going to be a keeper in any way, shape, or form. He's priced at 487.4. He's gone up 10.4K overall. I think at that price point, you could probably go to potentially Clary if you wanted to. I mean, he's more of a keeper than what Willem Drew will ever be. And I think, yeah, that Drew's only had really two out-of-the-box games against Richmond and Melbourne, 144 and 135. Every other score's kind of been thereabouts. But I'd be looking to upgrade Willem as soon as you can. If you have other issues to address first and foremost, you could probably wait. But keep in mind that his break-even is 104 and he faces the Cats this week, who he only averages 72.4 against. So, yeah, I'd be looking to upgrade him. Or if you need to, probably wouldn't downgrade him just because he's at that high enough price point where I'd be using cash from another downgrade to put on top of the head of Willem Drew and then upgrade him to a genuine primo. So, again, don't know who you could go for because I don't know what your team looks like. But, yeah, if you want to flick through your team, let us know and we're happy to give you a more direction, I guess. Running us out, we have, do we have another question via Twitter? I think we do. Let me pull it up. But in the meantime, we have another question via Discord, via our regular viewer and listener, and it is Adam Nemeth. So what he has asked is, in the past 3 years, Parrish has scored roughly three bad weeks in a row and then exploded into ton games. For a team down the ranks and with Parrish having his bad games, could Parrish be an option? We spoke of Parrish earlier in the episode, Adam, and where Steve O and I aren't really for him, for his price, I think you could probably take the punt, but you could also take the punt on Clary and save even more coin. So between that, I'm a little bit worried as well with Parrish's soft tissue injury history. And I think given that, I would probably opt to save a bit more coin and go for Clary. I don't think Parrish is going to be a top eight mid any more than what Clary could be. So I'd go down that route personally. But, I mean, Parrish will be a pod. So if you want to go down that route as well, if he's more appealing off the back of that, or more power to you if you want to go down that route. But not for me personally. Let's round it out with the last question. Let me just source it. And it has been sent in by Jonathan Silva, El Chapito FC. If you had to pick one, Dale, Sinclair or Moore, trading out Libba and a rookie. And he said Pink or Comben. Can't decide which one. Fear of missing out on Dale. going large this week, but possibly being bevoed in future games. I would not go for Dale. He was very lucky that Richards actually played a fair bit of time in the midfield again. Again, it's just weird stuff with Bevo. You would have thought that Richards would go down to defense again and impact Dale. I can still see that happening. Maybe not. Maybe he stays in the middle now that Lib is out. And it may bode well for Dale owners. But for me, I can't see Dale being a top six defender. And of those three guys, I would go for Moore. I think Moore has more opportunity of being top six in his line in the forward line. Sinclair probably comes in next, and then Dale, or maybe Dale before Sinclair, actually. Sinclair doesn't really appeal to me as much with Wangan and Miller back there and whatnot. I think he will still have spike scores, but I just think his ceiling is capped a fair bit now compared to previous seasons. So in ranking, I'd go for Moore, Dale, and then Sinclair. So hopefully that helps in some way, shape, or form. Jonathan, that brings us to the end of the show. But before we go, Liam, as I'd say, where can our viewers find us across our socials? I'm not going to impersonate Liam at all. So on YouTube, just search Supercoach Edge and you'll find us there. And don't forget to subscribe and hit the notification bell to be notified of when our content drops on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Sorry, I'm jumping the gun here, Liam. This is why I need to hand it back over to you. Twitter, you can search us at Supercoach_Edge. At DamoJ88 or Liam at LiamEvans_95. Facebook, Insta, TikTok, you can just search Supercoach Edge and you'll find us there. Well, that just about rounds us out for round 8. Best of luck for round 9 and looking forward to having Liam, my sidekick, back in the hot seat as the co-host next week because it's not as easy doing it yourself. And I'm sure you would like to hear another voice, at least breaking up my own drone, dulcet tones, whatever you want to label it as. But anyway, to round us out, as we always say, may your trades hit the mark and your scores head towards the moon. We'll catch you next week. Cheers.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.